For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Tonight we're looking at hearing God and receiving healing. So let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves to you. We know, Lord, that you care for us and that you have given salvation through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He became a curse for us. And Lord, we praise you for that. We are the redeemed. Show us more from your word, Lord. Let us eat of your scripture and understand what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What we're looking at tonight, you will no doubt have seen a lot of these scriptures, but we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So there is a spiritual eating of the word of God. We don't just say, well, I heard a healing sermon several years ago and think that that suffices. It does not. There has to be a build-up of the word in our hearts so that we're filled with the word. The Bible tells us to be let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So it's got to dwell in us richly, the word of God, so there's good treasure in our heart, and then out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, and so on. Let's have a look at Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 23, first of all. And I pray tonight that it becomes a continuing revelation in your heart that God desires for you to live in healing, in health, and have healing in your life. It's not something that's been left out and suddenly God remembered. No, it's right through his word. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He is the Lord that presently heals, and thee is singular. So it's every single one of us. He's interested in his people. Glory to God. So Proverbs 4, starting from verse 20, and we'll go to verse 22. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And you've got to ask yourself here, do I really believe that if I attend to God's words, if I incline mine ear to his sayings, and don't let them depart from my eyes, keep them in the midst of my heart, do I really believe that they're life to me? Life to me and health to all my flesh. Notice that it's a word that goes into your heart, but it affects your flesh, it affects your body. So it has to come into your heart in a believing way. And the Bible talks about the heart that's able to receive the seed of the word of God. And that's a soft heart. That's a heart that's been made ready in a believing way to receive what God wants you to have. And notice it says, keep them in the midst of thine heart. There is a guarding that you have to do to make sure that what you are hearing is being filtered, so to speak. So you are not just allowing anything to come into your heart and take root in there, because there's many seeds, and remember, the devil is out there as our adversary, and he's wanting to sow the wrong seeds into people's hearts. And it comes in the form of things like words, and people take those words, and they might be a lying word, and they take that word and they believe it, and they start to act on it and speak it. Well, we don't want to be like that. We want to have the wisdom of God and understand that we must have that filter, so that when we look at the word, we take it as very food and take it into our heart as truth. And now that's going to be life unto those that find them, and health, think about that, health to all their flesh. And it's a good thing to say, I receive God's words in belief, and they are health to me and life to all my flesh. It's a good thing to actually say that if you really believe it. Have a look at Mark 4, verse 24. Mark 4, 24. We'll just look at one part in this one. Mark 4, 24. And remember that in terms of hearing, it's important, and Jesus says to take heed here, and when he says take heed, it means listen to what I'm saying here. Take heed. And so we'll read verse 24, and there's just one part of this I really want you to take hold of, but I'll read the whole lot. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So notice he says, take heed what ye hear. So the Lord Jesus Christ is pointing out that there are things that people can hear that they shouldn't be giving attention to spiritually. Okay, so yes, we can't get away from various words that are all around us. But we can certainly take heed what we hear. You can say, you can come with an attentive ear to listening to the word about healing and health and say, well, I'm taking heed to this particular word and allowing that to come in a believing way. So take heed what you hear. And of course, if you look at verse 23, it says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So you need to have spiritual ears. He's not just talking about those physical ears, is he? He's talking about the inner man ears. Okay? If you have ears to hear, let him hear. This is a decision we can make. I'm going to take heed what I hear, and I'm going to hear in the right way. Look at Luke 5, verse 1. You know, hearing was very, very important in the ministry of Jesus. When he spoke words, it was important, in fact it was the responsibility of the hearers to actually hear what he had to say. That's why he said, take heed what you hear, and if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So it was the responsibility of the hearers to say, well, I believe what's being preached and spoken by Jesus, and then they were able to act on that in a believing way. And that's why Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole, and things like that. And so there is faith that comes when we hear the word of God properly. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know that. We've heard that many times. It's important for us to emphasize this because it's so crucial to getting the word into our heart and keeping it in the midst of our hearts, so that it will then, as a good treasure, bring forth those good things that we spoke about last Sunday. So looking here, Luke 5, verse 1. Luke 5, verse 1. And it says here, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, it's Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. So, think about this, is a crowd of people pressed upon him. What were they there for? To hear the word of God. Okay? He didn't say they were there to have a good time, or to have a social gathering, or to be entertained. Although, you know, the word of God is like treasure to those that approach it properly, and it's a beautiful thing. Beautiful. Notice, they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. As I've said many times before, Jesus was the greatest preacher that this planet has ever seen. Okay? He is our wonderful example because he preached the word of God. And so that's why they came to hear the word of God, and we need to come to hear the word of God. Now, it is a big indictment on many churches that the word of God is de-emphasized, We don't do that here. We emphasise the Word of God. In fact, the Bible talks about glorifying the Word of God. And that's what we do. Look at verses 12 to 15 of that same chapter. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Okay, so he's talking about the will of the Lord here. What is the will of the Lord for a man that was full of leprosy? And leprosy was and is a terrible flesh-eating type disease. Let's have a look at verse 13. And he, that's Jesus, put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to, what? Hear. Yeah. And to be healed by him of their infirmities. So you can see that the multitudes came to hear. What were they hearing? Well, we saw in verse 1, they came to hear the word of God. You hear, so when it says take heed what you hear, you know, we come together, we come to hear the word of God. Okay? To hear. And notice, came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So the hearing comes first, the healing comes as the word of God comes in and people get faith. And some of those people may have heard or heard of him many times. But the thing is that there must be, when we come to the word, there must be this desire, this believing that the word is more than just words in a book or letters on a page. The word of God is spirit and life, as Jesus said, spirit and life. So they have an impact in the heart. And that's why it says that they are life unto them that find them and health to all their flesh. So there is an impact that happens in the physical realm as well. And we've already mentioned that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So there's many people that might have heard certain scriptures or heard the Bible read, but they haven't really heard it in their heart properly because they haven't given attention to it, as the scripture said, the one we read in Proverbs 4. Attend to God's words. Incline your ear to his sayings. Glory to God. Have a look at Luke 8. A bit further over, Luke 8, verses 15 to 21. Luke 8. We're talking about hearing God tonight. Hearing the word and being able to receive healing then. Hearing the word is so very important. I think that in many churches, sadly, because remember that the scripture is profitable for doctrine. If you put the doctrine of healing aside, obviously that's going to be a real problem to get profit in that area. But we've got to have the churches, and I'm not just talking about one or two, but the churches right across the globe, to understand good doctrine and understand that God wants his people healed and strong and healthy and so on. Glory to God. So we're looking at Luke 8, verses 15 to 21. So from verse 15, but they that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Let's just pause there for a minute. An honest and good heart. That type of heart is going to be good ground. We're looking the parable of the sower, this is the last part here, the explanation of it. And he said that the word of God is the seed. The ground is the heart. The ground is the heart. And notice what he says here in verse 15. In an honest and good heart, having what? Heard the word. They forget it. Is that what it says next? No. Keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So you may have symptoms in your body, and you may need to hear and hear and hear the word of God over and over, and be patient that it is in an honest and good heart taking root and will produce those good things out of the abundance of the heart. There's going to be the mouth speaking, and good things come out of the good treasure of the heart. So notice, having heard the word, so is hearing the word important with respect to healing? I believe it is. Very, very important. Having heard the word, keep it. So it doesn't just go in one ear and out the other. I am a doer of the word, not just a hearer, but a doer of the word, okay? It means something to your life. You may need to change your life. You know, some people hear the word, but they don't want to repent. They don't want to make a change. Or they don't want to forgive such and such. But you know, faith worketh by love. So there may need to be some changes if you want faith to operate in your life. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Let's continue on. We'll go to verse 21. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither shall anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So verse 18 says, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. So it must be in an attentive, believing way. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. We saw before, take heed what ye hear. And we're saying the emphasis should be on the word of God in your life if you want results. And then it says here, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. You can't be a forgetful hearer, as the book of James talks about. If you're a forgetful hearer, it's not going to profit you at all. But glory to God, we're not people that are going to be forgetful hearers. We're people that are building our faith up so that we understand that the Lord is our strength and power, and he makes our way perfect. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Glory to God. Have a look at Acts 15.
Yeah.
Acts 15. We'll look at verses 7 to 11. Now, the gospel has this component of healing in it. In other words, it's not just, oh, you need to be forgiven born again so that you can go to heaven. It's more than that. The gospel covers the whole man, spirit, soul and body. So we need to look a little bit about this. Have a look at Acts 15, 7 to 11. Because the gospel is good news. The gospel means that the Lord Jesus Christ has done something to provide salvation for mankind because of the plight that mankind was in. Acts 15, we'll start from verse 7. We'll go to verse 15. And And it says here, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Okay, so keep that in mind. Hear the word and believe. So you're hearing the word and believing it. "And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." It's about faith. "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they." Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. "And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren," and so on. So what we see is that the word of the gospel, according to verse 7, the word of the gospel should be heard and they believe. And we see in verse 12 that Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God hath wrought among the Gentiles by them, the gospel must have had the message of healing and deliverance, salvation for the whole man. And that was available and is available not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles here. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. We see that the gospel is very important, but the full gospel is what I'm talking about here. The full gospel where people must hear the word and understand that within salvation is that healing that's available. Is that healing. So we see 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1-4. And it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So we see that the first thing that he received through the gospel was how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now let's link that with 1 Peter 2. Verses 21-25. Because we see Christ, as it says there, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's part of the gospel, very clearly. And then have a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 to 25. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us, that he died for our sins, and what was in that death, what was in that sacrifice. So I think for verse 21 it says, "For even here unto ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to them that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So the gospel preached, you see, was yes, Christ died for our sins. And you notice that we, it's his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. And it has this element of healing in it, by whose stripes ye were healed. So we see that the good news, the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, means that he took that curse of sin completely on himself. Everything that related to sin that was a curse, and we see that if we go to Galatians 3 verse 13, we'll just read that one, so that we're very clear that what the Lord Jesus Christ did was a wonderful and whole salvation, a whole salvation. And you know, we can believe that, we can take that and say, well, I believe that Jesus indeed has redeemed me, he has made a curse for me. And Galatians 3 verse 13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." So once again we see that he died for our sins, and in that he was made a curse for us. And he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, if we looked at the curse of the law, we don't have time to go into that tonight. But in Deuteronomy 28, for example, it shows us very clearly the curse related to poverty and sickness and disease. So we see that Jesus was made a curse for us, made a curse for us, and by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. We were healed. It's not something that's apart from the gospel, but something apart that's definitely in the gospel. And we'll look finally at Acts 8, 5 to 8, and we'll see very clearly that the gospel indeed has in it, and this is the word that we preach, this is the word that we speak, and we want people to receive it by faith, to say, yes, I see that what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, he's done for me. Acts 8, verses 5 to 8, we see that the gospel must have included healing and deliverance. Starting with verse 5, it says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." What did he preach? Christ unto them. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. The gospel, in other words. "Preached Christ unto them." And notice what happened. "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city." So notice that the people approached the preaching of Christ. They approached the preaching of Christ by giving heed unto those things which Philip spake. And it's important, and I'll go back to where I was at the beginning, it's important that when the Word of God comes, People give heed. They receive it. They take heed what they're hearing and how they're hearing, and they can receive this by faith. I pray tonight that you have heard the word, not just with your outer man ears, but with your inner man ears. And so I want to give people an opportunity, if you want to have a prayer specifically for healing related to that, we'll make that available. Let's close in prayer. Let's just quieten our hearts. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the wonderful truth that the Lord Jesus Christ was made a curse for us, and by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. We are redeemed by his blood from the curse of the law. Thank you, Lord, for that. And Lord, we praise you. We praise you. In Jesus' name.